All right, so it is recording, and essentially I'm going to start off with a few background questions to get an idea of what your background is in terms of your education and how you know how to do what you do. And I might ask some more specific questions about the technology itself, because essentially when we write the petition to the U.S. Copyright Office, it's going to be going to people who aren't necessarily familiar with the technology you're going to be talking about. And so I'll ask questions to kind of flesh it out to make it clear what it is we're talking about.
Okay, well, you might have a little bit of a problem. Me personally, although I'm one of the owners here, I don't do the actual programming myself.
Are you familiar with the process or...
Yeah, I'm familiar with the project.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, you could answer whatever questions you feel like you can answer that you have personal knowledge of. If you'd like, I mean, we would appreciate it if we could talk to other people as well, if you think they might know other things, or if they could even say things that are similar to what you're saying. Basically, the more people we could speak to that could give us information, the better we could prove this to the U.S. Copyright Office. So if you want to just answer whatever questions you're familiar with and comfortable with, then that works.
All right. Well, yeah. Let's see what this is. How this is going to go.
Okay. Sure.
I didn't let anybody else on the phone.
No, that's fine. Okay. So to start off, I'd like to know what your education is, what your educational background is.
Educational background. Some college in sports medicine.
Okay. Did you have any education relevant to what you do now?
No.
Okay. Let's see. And what is it exactly that you do now?
Owner of a company that does automotive and truck computer programming.
Okay. And how long have you been doing that?
21 years.
21 years. Okay. And you said you're the owner. Okay. And what is it that you do there specifically?
Well, we either develop hardware to send to customers, which will allow them to read and write the information that's in their vehicle's computer, or we require the customer to pull the computer off of their vehicles and ship it to us, which at that point we get into it and rewrite the information inside the computer.
Okay. And so that's what your business does in general, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, I want to get a little into the specifics of the technology as far as your understanding of it. Can you tell us what products you create in regards to agricultural equipment?
Modules. Modules that can go in line of the vehicle's engine harness and PCM. As well as computer programming.
Okay.
But computer programming is really not a product, though. I mean, it's more of a service.
Gotcha. And what is the purpose of the product?
To improve fuel efficiency improve performance.
Okay. Let's see. And how does that benefit people involved in agriculture?
Well, improve fuel efficiency, save some money on fuel costs.
Okay.
As far as performance, it allows them to do more work or the same amount of work in a shorter amount of time.
Okay, great. And so how does your product actually increase performance?
By rewriting the calibration sections of the programming,
okay.
Of the program of the computer.
Okay, and so by that you mean you essentially give the computer a different set of commands that tells it to perform differently, or
Right.
okay. And why is it necessary for people involved in agriculture to for instance get increased performance? So I think you actually kind of answered that with getting more work done, essentially, same amount of time.
More work done and savings on fuel costs.
Okay. And do your products reduce emissions at all? Or when you have these performance tweaks, so how does that affect emissions?
Most of it, well, it can reduce emissions, yes.
Okay. And you already said they do reduce fuel consumption. Okay. And the tuning in terms of power or fuel consumption or emissions, these are all things. Does the customer choose what they want for each individual application, or?
Yeah, well, the final, they have the final say. We offer, you can either get as much performance as possible, as much mileage as possible, or somewhere in between, combination of, two of the both.
Okay. And do your products allow users to modify or repair their own equipment?
Does it allow the customer to do
Right.
that?
Right. Or is this something that
No.
you basically set it up in the module and then they install it and it does what it was set up to do? So are they able to use your product themselves to make any changes? Okay. Roughly how many of your products are purchased annually by those involved in agriculture?
Probably about 3,000 units.
Oh, okay. And can you explain the electronic systems used in agricultural equipment that your business works with, like the ECU or the other, like how your product interacts with the systems that are built into the machines?
Well, you just for the programming aspects, you plug into what's called a BDM port. You plug into the BDM port, and then you're able to communicate or read out the stock information. The software allows us to, make the changes, and after that, just flash it back in.
Okay. Now, the software that do you use your own proprietary software to communicate with the ECU, or is this
Yes.
okay? And do you need to, in order to create your software, did you need to first access the systems on the machines? Okay.
No.
I need to access. Okay. What are there any other systems you interact with other than the ECU?
Just the manufacturer's systems.
But what is that?
I come and say they sell equipment that you can buy to do that.
Oh, okay. So the manufacturers of the farm equipment create devices that you could use to interact with the systems?
I figure we're talking about farm equipment. No, there's no other. Just what we developed.
Okay, got it. In order to create the products you sell, let me see this. Okay, you already answered that. Now, are you able to are you able to create these systems or basically tune the ECU without connecting to it, without reading the software on the ECU? Essentially, in order to know how to program it, do you first need to access the ECU?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see here. Do you ever need to make a copy of the software that's embedded into the machine in order to make your modifications or tweaks or anything?
Yes.
Okay. And where do you make that copy? So in order to let's say you get a new machine like a tractor or something, and you wanna create a module to upgrade its performance. When you access the ECU in order to figure out what you need to tweak, do you use your systems, your software, your equipment to basically just send the new commands into the ECU, or do you need to first make a copy of what's on the ECU and then tweak that somewhere else and then put that back onto the ECU? Basically,
programming, then yes, yeah. That's the case. If you're talking about a module, then no.
The programming, do you basically program directly onto the ECU, or do you copy what's on the ECU and then do that elsewhere?
We'll copy it, do it elsewhere.
Okay, so you copy what's on the ECU, do it on your own computers, and then put it back.
Right. Correct.
Okay. Is it possible to just modify directly what on the ECU without actually copying it off and you're doing it elsewhere? Or does the first time you do it...
It's possible, but not really a smart way of doing it.
Okay. And why is that? Is there potential for damage?
Up to failure.
Okay, got it. If you make the change directly onto the system as opposed to copying it off first and then putting it back. Okay. Okay. Does your product access the system when it's installed, or do you only access the system when you're designing the product? In other words, you create the module after you do the tuning, right? And then the module basically implements the tune when they install it into the machine. Is that correct?
Well, module doesn't... Again,
or is there a module and the tuning separate?
They're separate.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you do custom ECU tuning, which is separate from the module, which does its own thing.
Right.
Okay, I got you.
Module does not go into the ECU and make changes. It just it gathers the information the ECU is sending out and modifies that.
So does it need to get past any kind of technological protection measures in order to do that? Essentially, when you plug in the module, does the module have some... Is there any kind of protection that the manufacturers put in that prevent reading of what's coming out of the ECU that the module can get around, or is that information not protected in any way? Is it totally accessible?
It's somewhat protected, yes.
Okay. And so, even for the module to work, it needs to have a way to get itself around that protection. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. Yes. And what kind of protection is in the way? What is the issue you have that blocks that? What is it you need to get around, essentially? If you could describe that technology.
Well, it'll just cause, without getting around, it'll just cause it to run poor. The engine will run poorly, as well as cause, like, your dash lights, your check engine lights to come on.
Okay. And so, is it like a password that you need to put in first, or... What is the actual type of virtual lock that's being used?
Well, for the module, I'd rather not say.
Okay.
I mean, that you're kind of getting into why we have a product and other people don't.
I got you. That's okay. What about the tuning? What is it that the manufacturer does to protect their ECUs from people getting in there and fiddling with it?
Well, when you access it through the BDM connector, then they have no protection.
Oh, okay. And does everyone have access to the BDM connector, or do you need to have special hardware or software to make any sense of it once you connect to it, or?
Yes, you gotta have special hardware and software.
Okay. Now, the special hardware and software, is that something the manufacturer gives you, or is that something you guys
developed yourselves?
Okay. So essentially, what the manufacturer has done to protect their system is, one, you need to have special hardware to connect to the port, right?
Right.
And even if you have that hardware, you need to have software to go along with it in order to use the system. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. And the software, is that something you guys had to develop yourselves? Otherwise, it's only the manufacturer has access to that kind of software?
Right, yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's see here. Give me one second. Are you aware of any other like licensed versions of the hardware or software that you could go to, like some other kind of third party that sells, like for instance with automotive, you could go get various types of like OBD2 type equipment. Can you just go to a shop somewhere and get equipment that's licensed to use, or are people forced to create their own hardware and software in order to access the stuff? For example, you said you guys actually created your own hardware and software to interact with these machines, right?
Right.
But did you have the option of going somewhere and just buying it, like from a store, or is it very much like a do-it-yourself kind of thing?
There is there are some companies that will sell you equipment, but you kind of have limited access. You're kind of at their mercy. You can read and write information, but you're kind of at the mercy of the company who sold you that equipment.
And you
have to rely on them down the road, which. I mean, so they can continue to, profit on you. I mean,
right.
You know, they're selling you something, for you to make money on them. They're going to want a piece out of it as well.
I see. And so what kind of restrictions do you face when you use this?
Well, you have to rely on them. You have to rely on them to create the, or to make the changes to the programming.
Oh, so you're saying you could buy the hardware and software from them to go ahead and do the actual change, but you can't choose what that change is. You have to use what they give you, and then you're just able to then physically put it on the system.
Right.
So what you guys did is you made your own hardware and software, and then you can make whatever tweaks you want and then implement those, whereas if you use theirs, you basically have to download whatever software they give you, and then you're just physically able to put that software on the machine?
Right, that's correct.
Okay, I see. Are there ever instances when manufacturers have put some kind of protection in place that you haven't been able to get past?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Could you give me some examples?
You mean the actual manufacturer?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Maybe Caterpillar. As far as what we come across, that's probably it.
Okay. And so what is it that prevented you guys from accessing the system?
Just being able to communicate.
So were you did you have the hardware, but when you connect it just doesn't show anything, or it tells you you're restricted, or could you kind of break down what the process is and basically what are the steps you take to try to access it, and then what is it that happens when you try?
Well, it's just no communication. I mean, the first thing when you connect, the computer wants a handshake.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like you need Alibaba. You know, if you don't have a password, you're not continuing on. You're not getting past that handshake.
Okay, so when you connect your hardware to the Caterpillar system, does it ask you for a password, or does it just not respond at all, as if you didn't connect anything?
It just no response. Yeah, no, there's no...
Then no response, okay.
There's no messages or anything like that. You just...
Okay.
You just can't move forward on what you need to do.
Okay, so then I'm assuming Caterpillar gives dealers or something a special kind of hardware that is able to do that handshake and connect?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Were there any other instances when you were completely unable to access at all?
I mean, there were, but, we figured it out.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, I mean, currently, that's it. I mean, just a cat.
Gotcha. And I'm assuming you're usually able to bypass the TPMs then if it's just been Caterpillar? Are you usually able,
right.
For the most part, are you able to get in when you try?
Yeah. I mean, but you're talking years and years of trying.
Right, gotcha.
You're trying for a few minutes and then you got it. You know, we're talking years.
No, that's great information. That is... what we were trying to figure out. If you can get in, how long does it take? How hard is it? Okay.
So far, never on the cat.
Okay.
You know, I mean, we've been going at it for years. It's just, you know, you can't predict something like that. It could happen tomorrow, you know.
Okay.
Or it may never happen. You know, you just keep plugging away.
I gotcha. So I'm assuming, does it take special knowledge to get past... these TPMs?
Yes.
Okay. In your experience with your farmer clients, do they have the knowledge necessary to do this themselves?
No.
Okay. And does it take special equipment to get past these TPMs?
Yeah.
And in your experience with your farmer clients, do they have the equipment necessary to do this themselves? The equipment?
No.
Okay, so you said, can you kind of describe a little bit more the type of equipment you use to be able to access these things?
Well, I mean, it's just really mainly just a cable, you know, that plugs into the ECM, and of course, and obviously your PC.
Okay.
And the software, everything's really just driven, you know, off your software.
Got it. Okay, so you have your laptop with the software on it, and then the cable that goes like the USB port, and the other end connects to the machine. Gotcha.
Right.
Okay, and you said that in terms of this cable, did you create the cable yourself, or is that something that's available, or?
The ribbon cable. You can buy them anywhere, but it's just. You got to modify whether it's a 3-pin, a 6-pin, a 10-pin, you know.
Okay, got it.
I mean, they're readily available, but you have to adapt it.
Got it.
Application.
Cable is available, but need to modify.
Hang on.
Okay. Is this equipment expensive?
The cable? No.
Yeah. Okay. Cable is cheap. And the software, you said you guys design yourself.
Right.
Okay.
would be extremely expensive.
Okay. Extremely expensive development of software. Okay. So when you are able to bypass the systems, you plug into the machine to the BVM, and you're using your software on the computer, you're able to access the system. Does it ask you at that point? Does it ask you for a password, or is there a password on the machines usually?
No, once you're in, it's everything's there.
Okay, so essentially, what you're saying is, if you have the right hardware and software, it's automatic in terms of gaining access. It's not that itself is the protection.
Right.
Okay, got it.
Now, keep in mind, I mean, that can change from year to year. So if you do a 2010 John Deere, 2011, what you're using for the 2010 may not work for the 2011.
Right. Right. Okay. And then you have to go and try to spend time to figure out how to make that connect.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Got it. Okay. So I'm assuming for every make and model of equipment is going to be different then, for the most part. Is that correct?
For the most part, yes.
Okay. All right. Just a couple more here. All right. Just to get a little bit more information on the modules, you said that the ECU generally would be able to detect that some kind of module is installed, and that it'll act funny, it'll cause a light to go off, saying that there's a problem, it'll perform poorly, unless you design the module to kind of get around that. Is that just the nature of the machine that because it's being modified by this module will perform weird, but you've found a fix, or is it some kind of actual thing that the manufacturers intentionally did in order to prevent something like a module from working?
It mainly pertains to the newer vehicles, newer applications. You know, the computers on the vehicles are, you know, they just get more sophisticated.
So it's just they
monitor more things, and they require feedback from, you know, the vehicle sensors, and in order to determine what to do. So if that feedback is any different than what it's supposed to be,
uh-huh,
the computer just assumes, well, there's something wrong, and we're going to shut down.
I see. Now, is there ever a case where the computer is designed to essentially completely stop working if it senses something like that, or is it more of like it just runs funny because it's getting like weird readings?
It could be either way.
Okay. So there are cases when the manufacturer designs it to just go, something's wrong, I'm turning off.
Right.
Okay.